So it's important for the newbies to see that there's a new kind of money and you can have the custody of it. So it's important for us to spend the Bitcoin to teach and for the long-term use, you know?
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Stefan Lavera podcast, a show about Bitcoin and Austrian economics brought to you by Swan.com. Today, I'm joined by Fernando Motolis, the founder of Bitcoin Beach Brazil and also the creator of the Bitcoin Eyes app. So first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here, Stefan.
Yeah, so let's hear a little bit of your background. I want to hear a little bit about how you got into Bitcoin and how you got into this idea. As I understand, you started with Bitcoin Beach Brazil first before doing Bitcoin Eyes, right?
Yes. First, I am a musician, a developer, and cybersecurity researcher. I am from São Paulo, and for the last 18 years, I have been running an audio production company, specialized in voiceover services. And I met Bitcoin in 2013, but I started to look deep into it just in 2020. And when I moved to Jericoacoara, the Bitcoin Beach Brazil, Jeri is one of the 10 most beautiful beaches of the planet. So I moved here to start to look into to have a better quality of life. And I created this experiment called Private Bitcoin Brazil in 2021. And in 2023, I founded the BitcoinEyes.com to sell the Bitcoin POS devices.
Fantastic. So let's hear a little bit about starting Bitcoin Beach Brazil. I presume you're inspired by the El Zonte Bitcoin Beach.
Yes, of course. When Bitcoin became a legal tender in El Salvador, I decided to replicate the Bitcoin Beach experiment here in Brazil. So I understood how Bitcoin, they started to use Bitcoin there. And then I created a kind of similar initiative here in Brazil, inspired in Bitcoin Beach in El Zonte. And then after 6 months, onboarding merchants and locals and sharing small amounts of sats with them, doing real transactions, I got engaged with the public school, and then I started to create a real circular economy following the four pillars of the circular economy, the education technology, spirituality, and entertainment. So I created this program with the school. We activated the computer lab of the school, and then we gave to the kids some tools to them to use Bitcoin in daily basis, and then the Bitcoinized machine emerged.
Right. And so tell us a little bit about your experience trying to grow a circular economy. As I understand, in the case of El Zonte, there was a donor who put up some money anonymously to sort of seed the project and help get the thing started so that people could get paid in Bitcoin.
Yes.
What did that look like in your case for Bitcoin Beach Brazil?
In my case, I just started with 0.02 BTC at the beginning. At that time was around $1,000. And then, you know, was a really small initiative at the beginning because, you know, there are Bitcoin it's very huge, you know. When you start to use Bitcoin as money, you need to understand how to do it in the right way, right? So here I started using mainly on-chain wallets at the beginning, but at some point we discovered that was necessary to use Lightning. So I started to raise funds throw our node using BTC Pay Server, raising donations to do our local infrastructure, to buy the equipment, to make the, to pay our offs here. And, so we did totally different because we didn't had a big donor at the beginning. I started by fundraising it with my own resources. But after 1 year running the initiative, the Bitcoin Beach donated the biggest a bigger did the first big donation, and it was around 0.1 BTC to give some t-shirts and some paper wallets to the kids to understand. And then we started to attract another other donors to help us to build our local circular economy here. So I engaged with the school and with the community council to build this kind of circular economy here, giving tools to the merchants and teaching them how to use Bitcoin, you know, not only Lightning. Here we have our merchants and everyone, they receive a training to receive small payments using Lightning. And then when they have enough, they send these payments to their own chain wallets that they have the keys. So, and at the beginning, it was a really small initiative. But this year during the carnival, we did our first conference. And we, with around 100 people attending the conference, and it was amazing because, you know, here we have 30 merchants and people using both cards and the POS machines, and we have a pretty advanced community here. So everything that we did was receiving donations and building our own tools.
Great. And so you mentioned you have 30 merchants. What was it like getting merchants on board in terms of getting them over that initial hurdle? And then I guess the other aspect that I've heard of is it's one thing to onboard a merchant, but then it's also an aspect of keeping that merchant and have making sure they get enough actual volume, because otherwise they might just sort of give up on the whole Bitcoin thing.
Yes, yes. It's very difficult to onboard merchants, but you know, when you have this long-term goal to keep the Bitcoin side of the community, you have the right motivation to onboard merchants. So in the beginning, my motivation to use Bitcoin, the community, was to be able to, instead to sell the Bitcoin, use it as a payment method, right? So I decided to onboard merchants that was necessary for the community. So we have the bakery, we have the small market, restaurants, and the ice cream shop, and other places that they are useful for the community, and they have a volume enough to keep the merchant running and, accumulating sats. Because the main part to receive, the main reason to receive Bitcoin payments here in Jericoacoara for the merchant is a kind of marketing tool. At the beginning, they don't understand how Bitcoin works and why to receive Bitcoin. But when they start to receive and collect sats, and they understand that they can have the custody of that funds and it's a kind of plan B, you know, a kind of alternative currency that they are holding for the long term, they figure out that Bitcoin is not only a cash system. Bitcoin is a saving technology. So they start to save for the future. So here we have these statistics that 50% of the merchants, they are holding for the future. 25% is spending. You know, they receive, they go to the supermarket, to the restaurant, to the coffee shop, and they spend, and 25% is cashing out. So when they start to use this kind of money and benefit from the marketing that, you know, they attract new users to pay in their stores, that, you know, and they start to save that money for the future. So our merchants here, they are engaged to keep growing with the ecosystem and holding for the future. And if they don't want to hold, they can expand.
Yeah, that's great. And so in terms of those merchants being able to directly spend or even sell back to fiat, how are they normally doing that? Is that just one, you know, the owner is just taking the sats and buying products themselves, or just selling for cash? Or how does that operate?
Yes,
how does that work?
So this is where the Bitcoinized machines in the tool that we created, they sit perfectly. So here, Prior Bitcoin acts as a kind of community bank, right? We have these merchants, this local, the group of users, the kids of the school, the members of the community council. So to onboard these people and to make them be ready to spend or to receive, we created two basic tools. The first one is the paper wallet. It's a kind of piece of paper that there is this seal here to protect the private key. There's a seeding phrase and X pub inside of the paper wallet and a Bitcoin address. So, in the back, you can check the balance of this wallet and download the codes that where we created this wallet, and also check our experiment here, Prior Bitcoin. And this, they receive that to understand how the main net works, right? So they can see their paper, their private keys when they open the paper wallet. They understand that they can import the seeding phrases, and that's it. And the second thing is the Bolt card. So when a merchant receives a payment in their POS devices, it's connected with their Bolt card. So they receive this payment. It's inside of their wallet in the community console, in this community bank, this community Bitcoin bank. And then they are ready to spend with their cards. So the Bolt card is a kind of new technology created by Peter and the guys of Coin Corner that allows you to use Bitcoin through Lightning just as a normal contactless card. But there is something special in this card, because every time you tap it, you get a random signature, so it's impossible to clone the Bolt card. So the merchants and the users that they are onboarded here in Jericoacoara, they receive this tool. So it's very easy to them, with 15 minutes training, to understand. To spend, they use Lightning. To receive, they can use Lightning too. In the back of the card, they have this UID here. And then if they, it's a kind of Lightning address as well. So they type the number of the card and the address of the server, and they can receive payments as well. And if case they need to save for the future, they use their on-chain wallets. We teach them how to create and how to use it using the paper wallet. And so we created this kind of culture for the user to, instead to sell and tell to the government and to, you know, that you had this Bitcoin, you sold it, and now you have the bloody money in your hands, it's much better spend using Bitcoin. So it's challenging because we need to provide the infrastructure, but this community bank was really important for the community, because we provide everything they need to start their journey into the rabbit hole.
Gotcha. And speaking of the tech stack that you are using, what are you using to provide? As I understand, it's a custodial wallet to start with for those merchants, and then they can sweep out into their own on-chain wallet that they hold the keys. That's kind of the rough idea.
Yes, yes. But at the beginning, there's a lot of users here using different tools, right? But the Galois stack, we have a lot of users using it. We have some merchants and some other local workers using the Galois stack. But to provide these tools as the bolt card, we are running our own node, right? So we teach the user at the beginning using our local server, and then they start to use other tools as they want. So there are users using Breeze wallet, other users using Phoenix, Wallet of Satoshi, Blink. So depends on the user and their needs, the wallet they will going to use. We don't force anyone to use any solution, and we have the cards mainly for these 400 kids of the school and for the merchants that use the community console server. So the idea here is to teach the user and to make Bitcoin be here forever. Don't depend on anyone else, you know. But our tools, of course, they help the users keep transacting it, because it's not easy to transact on chain. Lightning helps it a lot. So by providing our own infrastructure and our own community bank, we have this kind of advantage. We are using the cutting edge technology. We was the first community to experience the bolt card effect, this kind of make Bitcoin easy to spend, you know. As you have a fiat card, you can do it with your Bitcoin. So it's very useful for the user. When I go here to the night, I don't need to carry my mobile phone. I just go there with my card and then I pay. It's beautiful.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about the user experience side. We've spoken a bit about the merchant side. On the user side, can you tell us a little bit about what people are typically using and who are the typical users? Are they kids in the local area? Are they tourists? Are they, you know, other people in the area? Can you tell us a little bit about that side?
Okay. So when the tourists come here, they have all kinds of wallets. I saw tourists using Zeus LN. The interpolarity of Lightning is amazing, you know. It's like here, as we have our own node and a nice liquidity, we are the second biggest node of Brazil. We have a nice experience, you know. You can use your node, you can every wallet you want. You just need to, to have the channels and your Lightning wallet running. But in the merchant side, we have mainly merchants using the BTC Pay server that we provide, and Blink wallet for the swaps. And they use their own chain wallet that they are custodial.
Back to the show in a moment. This show is brought to you by CoinKite.com. If you need to secure your Bitcoin private keys, a great way to do that is to use hardware devices above a certain threshold for increased security. So most notably, the Cold Card from CoinKite.com is a great tool. I use it as part of various setups in my own Bitcoin security setups. I find it a phenomenal tool because of how reliable it is and how functional it is in terms of the different features you can use with the Cold Card. So if you're a beginner, just get a Cold Card and get a USB-C cable, and you can directly plug it into your PC, your laptop, or your desktop, and use it easily with desktop apps such as Sparrow or Spectre Desktop. If you are an intermediate or advanced user, you can use the micro SD card feature, which you use to get transactions in and out, as well as take the public keys in and out of your Cold Card. So that's a great feature that you can use to improve your security. They have a range of products available over at CoinKite.com. Use code Livera for a discount on your Cold Cards. Also, mempool.space. Mempool.space is a Bitcoin and blockchain visualizer. So if you're trying to send Bitcoin transactions today, you can see that the fees are rising. But with mempool.space, you can use the fee targeting feature of low, medium, or high priority, depending on how quickly you need your transaction to be confirmed. Over at mempool.space, you can view past transactions also. So you can view the blockchain. You can see various flags and other informational aspects of transactions that you have done or other transactions that are just there on the blockchain. For example, things like the RBF history of a particular transaction. Mempool.space is a great tool that I use regularly whenever I'm about to send a Bitcoin on-chain transaction. And of course, keep an eye out for their upcoming Mempool Accelerator feature, which is coming. So go to mempool.space to find out more about all of that. And now back to the show. Okay, yeah, so you are running a BTC Pay and you have underlying stores under which each of those shop owners or merchants is managing their store, but then they're also using Blink for swapping in and out. That's kind of at a high level what they're doing.
Yeah. And then sometimes they select to auto forward. When they select to auto forward,
right, it gets above a certain threshold and it withdraws out to their on-chain wallet, something like that.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. And so, in terms of, so you've mentioned a little bit about how when tourists come, they've got all kinds of different setups because obviously some might be using Phoenix and Zeus and Breeze and whatever else. What about locals? What kind of spending experience and apps and experience has that been like for the locals?
The locals, they use the card, you know.
Okay, so they're pretty much Bolt carding. Okay, so they've all just got their own Bolt card. Basically, that's like a custodial Lightning account, and they're sort of, you know, taking some out of this account, going to the merchant's account, and back and forth.
Yeah. And then we have some users that they are running their nodes and they are holding their funds, but mainly they are using the Bolt card. The locals use the card because it's easier for them. And also there are a new version of the card coming that will come with QR codes to receive payment and to, oh my God, to receive payments and to make the to check the balance, that will be easier for them to keep transaction with the card. But it's hard, you know, we need to inject money in the economy. So I hired these locals to make works, and mainly the merchants are the spenders, you know. Remember, we have 25% of people that is receiving is spending. So it depends on these people to make the thing happen here.
On the earning side, so when it comes to users getting sats to spend, how are they doing that? Are these people who are earning Bitcoin for their job, or are they buying it somehow? You know, I've heard in other different circular economies, there are different setups where maybe some of them are earning as part of their job and then they're also spending. What's the setup for you?
Yes. The kids of the school, when they receive the card, they receive a small amount of sats because we have this program in the school called Fruits for Sats, that they can buy fruits for 10 sats. So the kids, the 400 users of the school, they receive a card with 2,100 sats. That's enough to buy fruits for the entire year. And then they can buy Bitcoin. We have the second program called Big Bank Bailout, that we go to the school And we told the kids to bring pig banks that we gave to them to collect some coins from their parents and doing their voluntary work for their parents. And then we exchanged these coins, these fiat coins for Bitcoin once per month. So we have around 100 kids buying Bitcoin on the monthly basis. And when they have enough, they change it. They send this Bitcoin for their own chain wallets. And the third kind of user is the user that is already receiving other services. So as we have 25% of the merchants spending, they are the main spenders of the community. So they spend, and then other users receive, and then we keep, flowing sats. And I am the main spender of the community. I pay the renting from the community council. I buy the fruits every day for the Fruits for Sats program. We have the two employees here that receive Bitcoin salaries. So the circular economy is like kind of ever, it's not so big, but we are making maybe hundreds of transactions per day.
Interesting. Yeah. So certainly it has to start from somewhere. And let's talk a little bit now about your Bitcoin Eyes POS device. Now, people may have seen this on social media. I think I've had a couple opportunities in various places to actually spend into it. Can you tell us a little bit about the device and what you're hoping to achieve there?
Yes. At the beginning of the Bolt card last year, in August last year, the Bolt card came out, right? And then this Bolt card is this NFC card that allows you to link your wallet with the card. And then I saw a small kid making a payment with a POS machine in Europe. So this gave to me an idea to start to provide fruits for the kids in the school and to use the Bolt cards to teach them how to use Bitcoin and how to, start to use it in the daily basis. So I started to talk with some factors on China. If they agree with me to make some changes in the operating system, in the device itself, and the opening and the styling to make a Bitcoin optimized device. So I start to buy a lot of devices, and then I figure out that all devices had some kind of problems and they aren't ready to receive Bitcoin payments. And also there are some safety concerns because mainly, all kinds of POS devices, they have old operating systems. So, I had this kind of, click to talk with the factory to change some things in the operating system and build, I built a prototype of this machine here. The Bitcoin Eyes machine. So I created a kind of prototype to start this program. Prototype. And then I started to run this program in Brazil. And a lot of people start to ask, oh, how can I get the machine? How it works? How it's programmed? And because of this opportunity, there's no other Bitcoin optimized machine to receive payments. Actually, the Bitcoin machine is an Android tablet with NFC capabilities. And this new version is running Android 12, but the prototype was Android 8. So basically, you can embed a link to a BTC Pay server or other kind of solution like IBAX or Bitfinex Pay or many others. And then you you, it looks like very similar to the Fiat experience, and then you can use the cards. So that's it. And then I bought these machines from China, and the factory agreed with me to make all changes that we requested to provide a kind of safety for these payments.
That's great. And so can you tell us a little bit, so you touched on this before, but in terms of connecting it with that merchant's store as an example, because they would need to buy the device and connect it to their store in some way. You're saying it would be done through having a link to that person's BTC Pay server or to their merchant solution, because many of the merchant providers, let's say the payment processing providers, have an app that you can just install on the phone, let's say, or on the Android device.
Yes, should they, the main user of the machine are the payment providers, right? They buy the machine and then they put their solution in the machine. We don't provide any solution, but there are other solutions, very, very easy to use, as the wallet of Satoshi. This POS of wallet Satoshi is just a Lightning address, and then it's like there's nothing inside of the machine. It's just the Lightning address here, and then you generate the invoice, and when you receive the payment, it's not inside of the machine. It's going to their wallet in their mobile phone. So it's not only for the payment provider, the machine. You can use the Wallet of Satoshi POS, the Bolt Card POS, the Breeze Wallet POS. You have a lot of solutions that you can use to make the payments very easy.
Great. Okay. So there's different options there that the merchant can use to hook up to different providers. And as you're saying, it doesn't have to have the private keys living on the device. It can be elsewhere. So that, you know, let's say the shop owner has multiple payment terminals. Maybe it's a big shop. Maybe they're running multiple shops. In that case, they can do it like that and have multiple terminals that all tie back to the same account.
Exactly. Exactly. And also, they can run their own nodes, their own infrastructure. This is the idea where, as we provide just the hardware, we don't have a specific... But the best use case is to run BTC Pay server and, in our own node. And it's like remarkable.
Yeah. And just for people, I'm sure people will want to know, how much is the device if they want to buy the device?
It's one device is $199, but if you buy 100 devices, we can make around $110 each.
Okay, gotcha. So there's a discount for bulk buying, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's great to see, and I guess, are you getting a lot of interest already in terms of communities around the world, or even just businesses who want to take payment?
No, we sold more than 500 devices, and mainly for the payment providers and conferences, but there are Bitcoiners giving the machines for the businesses, because, when you give a kind of gift like that for the merchant and they start their journey, it's a kind of investment of the Bitcoiner in their own circular economies. Because if they have their... If you can pay with your Bitcoin in your community.
Interesting, yeah. Okay, so yeah, it's kind of like the same way people might gift a copy of the Bitcoin Standard to their friends to try to teach them. You could gift them a Bitcoinize payment terminal to try to get them to start taking Bitcoin in their business. And that's an interesting idea. I like that. And it's kind of an interesting one for communities, Bitcoin meetup organizers, people like that. You might be interested to look at this kind of idea for this exact same reason, that you can try to get some local merchants adopting Bitcoin payments. And I guess the cool thing is there's flexibility on their side, because they can choose different providers, right? They're not locked into one particular provider. They can just sort of have the device and hook it up to whatever they want. So that actually offers you a lot of flexibility.
Yes, yes. There are some merchants here. They use the machine to other purposes as well. They are using it as a music player or to print receipts in the keychain or to, you know, get other requests. So, you know, that to run iFood or, you know, the boat thing in El Salvador, there are some drivers. So the machine is an Android tablet, so you can use it as you want. And it's important for the machine always to be charged, because if there's not a lot of Bitcoin payments, so it's a device that can be useful for the merchant as well.
The lead sponsor of this show is Swan Bitcoin. Over at swan.com or using the Swan Bitcoin smartphone applications, you can buy Bitcoin and also learn about Bitcoin. With Swan, it's easy to set up an automatic recurring purchase plan. And with Swan, it's free automated withdrawal to your own self-custody. Swan wants you to self-custody. And to add to that, there is Swan Vault, which is recently launched and announced at Pacific Bitcoin 2023. Swan Vault is a multi-signature product where you hold two keys and Swan will hold one key. And in this setup, it makes it more secure for you because you are taking away single points of failure. You have a setup that allows you to spend unilaterally, but also having support from Swan. Now, if you're interested in this, you can go to swan.com/vault and sign up on the list there. The current setup is to use two Blockstream Jade devices, but support will be coming for more devices soon. So if you're looking to start stacking sats with Swan, go to swan.com/Livera and you'll get $10 of Bitcoin dropped into your account when you start stacking with Swan. And now back to the show. Gotcha. I see. Yeah. And that's a good point. I mean, you've probably picked that up over the years as well, because some merchants, if they don't get a lot of Bitcoin payments, it's sort of the payment terminal for it can languish and then it's just not used. And maybe the staff forget how to, you know, how to actually take payment in Bitcoin because not enough people come in and pay with Bitcoin. So it's sort of a bad spiral that can happen there if it's not done the right way. So I guess zooming out a little bit, obviously you've been focused on this. You've been really out there on the ground. Do you have any big insights that you would say you've learned in the process of trying to set up and support a circular economy or in creating this device?
Yes, the key is the education, you know. The device brings this message that every mobile phone can process Bitcoin payments, but when you have a device dedicated to receive this payment and it's configured to make it easy, you know, they know that you can go there and the machine will be there and they know how to use it to receive the payment is better. Gotcha. You know,
because it feels just like a normal payment terminal or like a smartphone app that, you know, nowadays everybody's used to using smartphones. And so I guess you're kind of leveraging that factor that, you know, seeing is believing. And once they've seen it on a terminal that you press the buttons and you know, it seems pretty obvious. Whereas if you just went to somebody without showing them, they might be like, oh, what's this Bitcoin thing? Is that another whole thing I have to learn? And maybe it just becomes too confronting for somebody who's not already into it or already understands how it works. So I'm curious to get your thoughts. Sorry, go on.
I would like to recommend a film that's very inspiring for the circular economy founders. The name of the film is Bank of Dave. Is the story of a guy who created a Bitcoin, created a community bank in England. And then it's very similar with the story that I am living here. Because by running this kind of community bank and helping the merchants keep touch, you know, collect some coins and save for the future and have their own keys and learn about money, what happens? We are creating wealth. We are creating a better community. And this film shows us what a bank or a kind of initiative that is community driven is able to help a small community to grow. So now I have merchants here holding half coin, you know, just selling ice creams, you know, and maybe this is the only investment they have, you know, so with a custodial way. So this film will show for your audience. How it's important for a founder, for the Bitcoiners to start their circular economy, start their Bitcoin banks, as Dave did in their small town, where I did here in Jericoacoara, but Roman did in El Zonte, Brindon is doing it in Kampala. There's a lot of people creating this kind of community initiatives, and they act like a community bank.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's interesting. I've heard of this movie Bank of Dave. I haven't seen it, but as I understand, there's a guy in the UK and he goes to set up a bank, and it's kind of like he's trying to set up a community bank, but it's all the struggle of trying to get a license and all this stuff because there's so much regulation and so much, you know, existing financial elites who are trying to stop him and stuff like that. So interesting. I think the other big angle would be hodling versus circular economy, as you know, and they're not that opposed. I think the way I would explain it is that hodling is the most powerful network effect. That's probably what will happen first, though I'm personally not opposed to sort of earning and spending, and I do earn and spend Bitcoin. I just see it as that's going to come at a later stage. But at the same time, I can see there are these circular economies, of course. You're helping support one, and there's El Zonte and many others around the world. And so I'm curious to hear your perspective on, you know, the hodling and spending aspect of it, that can you grow enough of a circular economy that it becomes a sustainable thing?
Yes, the point is we have all kinds of users and all, you know, in all kinds of social positions, right? So like maybe 80% of the Brazilian population, they cannot save for the future, right? So sometimes to define if you be a holder or a spender depends of your social position, right? Because I have users here that they sell, they receive and they sell immediately because they need to pay their bills and use that money, right? So what happens? It's a natural division, right? So by spending, you helping the holders, you know, the long-term holders to save, you know. So like here, the supermarket sell all their Bitcoin, right? Then I buy it, you know, because I am the holder of the community, right? So when the supermarket sell their Bitcoin, I go there and I buy it. And then I go there and spend again. And then I buy it again. If I keep buying and keep holding as a spender, it makes me believe that when I was just a holder, I didn't had enough contact with Bitcoin on a daily basis. And now by being an expender, I have cash out ramps that allows me not to sell, but to spend. And at some point, when you are leaving the Bitcoin standard, you need to spend, you know, you pay your bills. If you are not receiving cash and just receiving Bitcoin, at some point, you will be forced to spend. So you can be a hodler forever, but at some point, we will buy a Lambo or something else. So it's better for the world if we can expand directly and not sell to spend later.
I see, yeah. So, I mean, the way I see it is I would say when you are spending, that is also a kind of disposal of coins. It's just not selling for fiat directly, right? You're just buying whatever it is, food or airfares or Lamborghinis or whatever it is that you're spending the Bitcoin on. But I would see it as like maybe sort of it helps make it real for people that there's that, you know, like out people who are outsiders to this world, they see, oh, wow, you can actually spend this Bitcoin. Okay, so it sort of makes it more real in their mind. So maybe there's some element to that. I still believe hodling is the most important network effect. And I think it's going to be like a state. It's going to be like order of operations. We need to sort of see enough of a base of hodlers before it sort of makes sense for the average person to actually earn and spend this thing. But I am still encouraging. I still want to see more, you know, this kind of thing grow. I just don't see it happening sort of in a broad, widespread scale soon. I see it as like a, you know, a process, let's say medium term.
Yes, yes. It's not very fast, but as you see, Lightning is growing really fast. So you know, onboarding merchants benefit all holders, all ecosystem, everyone holding Bitcoin for the long term. This movement of payments, actually, Bitcoin is a cash system, right? So the payment is inside of this DNA, right? So it's important for the newbies to see that there's a new kind of money and you can have the custody of it. So it's important for us to spend the Bitcoin to teach and for the long-term use, you know? Because if we keep holding it, it's like that film, The Lord of the Rings, My Precious. You need to.
I think it's to me, I would explain that as, you know, different narratives will appeal to different people, right? There may be the high net worth investor, the investor person who just wants to, they just want digital gold. They just want to hodl, right? And, you know, but, you know, the person who's actually earning and doing business, he wants to be a merchant and earn Bitcoin. So different narratives will appeal to different people. And so, you know, and that's okay.
And the most incredible thing that Bitcoinize bring to the table was that company that is selling the machines now was created without a bank account. We paid everything.
Well, that's great to see.
Yes, that's all is paid with Bitcoin. We paid the fees to establish the company in Ras Al Khaimah in United Arab Emirates.
Right.
We paid the machines. We paid everything and we received the payments. So we did this Jazer fund campaign that we raised at 3.5 BTC, and everything that I did was with Bitcoin. So
that's fantastic. Yeah. Bitcoin native commerce.
Yeah. So what amazing story. Like, people donated to us to buy the machines and to give to other communities. So we delivered hundreds of machines worldwide for 28 countries.
That's fantastic. And to be honest, it sounds like, I mean, the way I didn't previously think of it before you explained that idea, but honestly, I might buy a machine or two myself just to, you know, have something to show or even, you know, try and gift to a merchant, let's say, nearby. So I think it's an exciting idea. I'm hopeful that we see more adoption of this. So let's leave it there. Listeners, make sure you check out Fernando's website. It's bitcoineyes.com. I'll put all the links in the show notes. And of course, check out Bitcoin Beach Brazil for anyone who might want to go down there and hang out and be a tourist at one of the best beaches. Fernando, thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Stephen. I just need to tell something that I've forgotten. It's really important.
Go on, yeah.
Like, the machine, the product itself was created to attend the kids of the school, you know? And then this project completely changed my life and rebranded my entire community. We have around 700 users in the city, the third merchants, and all started just because of the device, you know? Every day, someone going to the school, bringing the machine, teaching the kids, providing the card. So it's at some point, the device is nothing special, right? Because it's just an Android device. You can buy any Android device and do the same. But with the logo